Right, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to grab them and turn to John chapter 14. That's where we'll base out of. And just like last week, this is a very topical message today. And so we're going to look at a bunch of different scripture references. So follow along as they are put on the screen for you. Also, haven't notified you of this in a while, reminded you of this in a while, but all of the notes that I preach from, my manuscript that I preach from here in my Bible, goes online during the week. And so if you miss a message or miss something that happened in the message, because we move fast and we're going to have to move fast today just because we had this added element of honoring the seniors in this message. If you miss something, please go online and you can listen to the message. Or you can download the notes right here. The title that I'm addressing today, the title of the message is Fighting for Truth. I thought this would be an appropriate message to preach, this being our Senior Sunday. And I thought it'd be good to tackle a message like this because we all know that truth matters. This is one of the first lessons that we teach our children, isn't it? To tell the truth. This July, we're coming up on the 250th celebration of our country. And I want to make you aware, July the 1st, it's a Wednesday night. We're going to meet right here, and we're going to have a night of just celebrating America. We're going to have Chick-fil-A for you. I think we have a shot of this on the screen just so you can see it. We're going to have Chick-fil-A here. It doesn't get much more American than that, does it? Getting some Chick-fil-A. Then we're going to sing patriotic songs. We're going to pray for our country. And then we've got a special guest, Dr. Robert Morgan, who's going to be here. And he wrote a book, 100 Bible Verses That Made America. It's just going to be a great night. I really encourage you to be back for that. But I was thinking about our founding father. I recently watched a documentary on George Washington. And I can remember the very first, as a child, what I learned about George Washington first was this whole idea of honesty, telling the truth. You remember this story, right? Who cut down the cherry tree? The story is Washington was 6 years old. He received a hatchet as a gift, and he damaged his father's cherry tree with it. Now, legend grew over time and said he chopped it down, but originally he just damaged it. And his father saw it and was not happy at all. He called young George Washington and demanded to know what happened, and George Washington confessed, "Father, I cannot tell a lie. I cut it with my hatchet." And the story goes that Washington's father embraced him, grabbed him in his arms, and declared that his son's honesty was worth more than 1,000 trees. Awesome story, isn't it? Only thing is, it's not true. It's made up. And you know what makes it worse? A minister made it up. There's a pastor who was writing his biography on George Washington, and he wanted to make sure that the founding father was seen in good light, and he wanted to portray him as honorable and virtuous, so he just grabbed the story out of thin air and threw it in his book, and it took on a life of its own. These ministers making us look bad, all right? But we do know that truth is important. Now, three points I want to make up front, and they'll be short, staccato-like points. Just follow along. First is truth is absolute. This is where we start. This must be emphasized and highlighted. There is such a thing as absolute truth, or what we call universal truth. There is a belief that there are certain realities, what we call unalterable facts, that govern life. And these facts, these truths, by definition, they never change. Truth is absolute. It's like concrete. It's settled. It's universal, meaning what is true for me, if it's true, it's true for you. That means it was true for George Washington 250 years ago, and it'll be true 250 years from now when someone's walking planet Earth. Truth is universally true, and it is absolute. Now, I've got to admit, when I had the students in mind when I was writing this message and prepping it and getting ready, it doesn't matter because all of us need to hear this message and it needs to be reinforced over and over and over again. Truth matters and truth is absolute. And the reason that truth is so important, the enemy knows this. That's why he keeps it from me. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But ultimately, truth will lead us to Jesus Christ. And so the world doesn't want us believing in absolute truth. The enemy doesn't. He wants us believing that truth is relative, that what may be true for me is not necessarily true for you and vice versa. But this line of thinking, if there are no absolutes, just follow the line of thought. If there are no absolutes, That means there's no standards. And if there's no standards, that means there's no right or wrong. And if there's no right or wrong, that means we can choose to do whatever we want to do. And if this, which is the prevailing mindset of the day, is true, then it's always going to lead. Write it down. Talk about absolute truth. Living this way, basing your life off of your feelings, off of your emotions, off of what you think is right in the moment. If there's no standards, if there's no absolute truth, write it down. It'll always lead to chaos. It'll lead to confusion. And it will have devastating consequences, not just personally, but for society at large. So number one, truth is absolute. Number two, truth is narrow. 2 + 2 = 4. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter if you believe it equals 7. 2 + 2 = 4. Texas is bordered by Louisiana, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Arkansas. It's not bordered by Kentucky, Florida, or Utah. No matter how bad you want it to. Or think it is. All truth is narrow truth. You go to the top of this church building and you jump off and you see if gravity's truth, if you can suspend it. All truth is narrow truth. You take any subject, mathematics, chemistry, biology, geology, whatever it is, that truth, if it is true, will be absolute and it will be narrow. It's true for subjects like the ones that I just mentioned, and it's also true regarding faith. You take who God is and how to have a relationship with God. What Christianity teaches, it's very different than what Islam teaches. And they both can't be true and right. It's got to be one or the other. There's narrow truth. Think about it as it relates to the person of Jesus Christ, his origin, who he is. What Mormons teach is different than what Jehovah's Witnesses teach, which is different than what we teach as Bible-believing Christians. And we can't all be right, and these statements can't all be true at the same time. All truth is narrow truth. And by the way, seniors, take this to heart. If you believe this way and live this way as you go out into the world, you know this is true. I ain't even got to tell you this right now, but I'm just highlighting. If you live like this, you are going to be seen as bigoted, as intolerant. You're going to be called closed-minded, all because you believe that truth is narrow truth. So we say that a biological boy is a boy. That's the truth. And a biological girl is a girl. That's the truth. You can't change that. That's narrow truth. But what is the world going to say? You are narrow-minded. You are bigoted. And that's just not true. Because if you go to a doctor and he looks at your test results and the truth is you have cancer, and you meet with him and he shades that truth, doesn't tell you the truth, that's not loving. The most loving thing we can do is tell the truth. And the most wise thing that we can do is live in the truth. And so we must fight for the truth. So truth is absolute. Truth is narrow. Number three, truth is a person. This is what the Bible teaches. John 14:6. This is where I asked you to turn earlier. This is Jesus' plain teaching that he is the embodiment of truth. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the what? Truth and the life. John 8:32 says that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. John 1, the law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the reason that truth is so important and seeking truth is important is because ultimately it leads us to the person of Jesus. Do you remember that conversation that Jesus had with Pilate the night that he was arrested and the day that he was going to be put to death? Pilate, John 18:37, said to him, so you are a king? And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? Isn't it amazing? The embodiment of truth is standing right in front of him, and he doesn't recognize it. He's not even aware of it. So if we're going to fight for truth, we've got to know what truth is, and I should say who truth is. John 17, 17, Jesus is praying. And he prays for the church. And he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And we know the word of God is a title for the person of Jesus Christ. He is the word of God. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will always be in a fight for the truth and fight for truth. And here's what we have to understand is that the fight for truth, watch this, the fight for truth always, always, always happens right here in the mind. I've told this story before. My freshman year of college, studying to be a pastor, I walk into my first ministry class, got a bunch of preachers, man, we're so fired up, we're ready to charge hell with a water pistol, man, we are called and ready to go. And we're sitting there, our professor walks in, the notebooks are open, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, gentlemen, the battle for your life is in your mind. If Satan can win the war in your mind, he has you beat. And I remember writing that down, and I can just tell you, all these years later, not only do I remember it, but what my professor said that day has played out in my life. He was 100% correct. The battle for our life takes place in our mind. And this is where we fight for truth. There are three enemies that wage war in our mind against the truth. The first enemy, Satan. Look at his name. I mean, it means deceiver, okay? Listen to what Jesus says about him. He is the exact opposite of truth. John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan, the great enemy of our soul, his greatest play is to get in our mind and deceive us. Chip Ingram, in his book, The Invisible War, says this, most of the battle is in our thought life. That's where Satan can manipulate people towards his ends discreetly and invisibly. If he can distort our thoughts, our emotions, and our knowledge, then our behaviors and relationships will fall the way he wants them to. And even if he doesn't manage to turn us to overt evil, a little bit of distorted thinking can neutralize us and render us practically ineffective. Second enemy, as it relates to waging the war for truth in our mind, is the sin nature. Now, this one's hard because as Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, we are of the flesh. Flesh and sin nature are used interchangeably in the scriptures. And the flesh, the sin nature, it feasts off of, it feeds on lies and deception. It wants whatever is contrary to the truth. Galatians 5, the spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh and vice versa. The flesh wants falsehood, wants deception, wants lies, and it wages a war in the mind. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. Paul says, I want to honor God in the deep recesses of my heart. But look at what he says. I see in my members, his hands, his feet, his eyes, his sex organs. I see in the members of my body, this is the flesh, another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. So see, the sin nature, it knows how to win out. It targets the mind. Because again, if we can get to our thoughts, then we can control behavior and actions. And so the sin nature, what does it do? It, in the words of A.W. Tozer, it assaults our senses, what we can touch, what we can see, what we can feel. Oh, this is what the flesh wants, but it's totally different than living off of faith. Matter of fact, Tozer would say this, the world of sense, the flesh, it intrudes upon our attention day and night for the whole of our lifetime. It's clamorous and insistent and self-demonstrating. It does not appeal to our faith. It is here, assaulting our five senses, demanding to be accepted as real and final. But sin has so clouded the lenses of our heart that we cannot see the other reality, the city of God shining around us, the world of sense triumphs. So you have an enemy engaging you at the mind level. Satan, the sin nature, and then thirdly, what I would call the world system. The Bible teaches, Ephesians 2, 1 John 5, that we are living in a world under the power of the evil one. And the world system, it describes the rule and reign and activity of a rebellious society that, again, is under the rule of the prince of the power of the air, Satan. He's in charge. I was just in Las Vegas this week filming a 10-session series on the book of Daniel, Sin City, all right? I was scared to leave my hotel room. I just stay in there until I had to go film. But 10 sessions on the book of Daniel. It's going to come out later this year, filming it with Right Now Media sources. And love the study. We did Daniel about a year ago. I don't know if you remember us preaching through Daniel. If you were here and don't remember it, shame on you. It was a great preaching series, all right? But we talked about Daniel living in Babylon. And we said Babylon's a real place. It's a physical city. But in the Bible, it represents something bigger. And I gave you words that describe Babylon. It's this world system. Here are the words: a lust for power, selfish autonomy, human greed, rampant idolatry, unbridled hedonism. This is Babylon. This is the world system. And this is where we live. And the world system works on the mind through constant exposure. It doesn't have to argue with us. All it has to do is saturate us, surround us, so that its values start feeling like the norm. So you look at these enemies, Satan, our sin nature, the world system, no wonder it's so hard to live for truth. And so students, I want to get very practical with you. And again, this message is applicable for all of us, but I want to give us three ways we fight for and contend for truth, because we're going to have to do it till the day we die or Jesus calls us home, because these enemies are incessant. They're not giving up. They're not going to quit. And so how do we fight for truth? Number one, you fill your mind with truth. And we've already established God's word is true. John 17, 17. Romans 12, 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Be transformed. The J.B. Phillips translation says, don't be squeezed into the world's mold. How is that possible to prevent that when this is where we live? Paul says, you be transformed. It's the word we get metamorphosis from. You change by the renewing of your mind. We replace what is false and evil and deceptive with that which is good and pleasing and perfect. Paul would write in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, look at what he says. Think about these things. God did not give us his word simply for information purposes. He gave it to us for transformation. But in order for it to happen, we can't put it on our bedside and expect osmosis to put it into our heart. We have to grab it, we have to read it, and we have to take it in. Robert Morgan, who's going to be here for America 250 celebration, he wrote a great book. I read it a few summers ago called Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation. It's all about how to have a quiet time and really sit in the truth of God's word. Listen to what he said. Biblical meditation is the powerful practice of pondering, personalizing, and can you tell he's a preacher? Pondering, personalizing, and practicing scripture. Now, I want you to notice that's work you do. You have to practice. You have to ponder. You have to think on. Nobody else can do this for you. Suffice to say, I'll talk about this more in just a minute, but filling our mind with truth is not just going to happen. We have to take it in. We have to meditate on it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Meditate. The psalmist said, when we meditate on God's word, Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, that we'll be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. If you want a life like that, you've got to fill your mind with truth. Because as you navigate life, and the enemy comes in and he whispers lies, how do you combat those lies? You got to know the truth. When the sin nature's craving what the sin nature craves, and the thought is, it's only for a moment. If it feels good, do it. Nobody's going to know. It's not that big of a deal. How do you combat that? You've got to know the truth of God's word. And it's not just going to happen. You have to fill yourself with God's word. When the world system is trying to conform you, how do you not conform? Paul said you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you fill your mind with truth. Secondly, you guard your mind with truth. This is going on the defensive. Paul, in the context of spiritual war, saying that we have a battle going on in the invisible world. He pulls back the curtains and he says, as this battle's taking place for your life, he gives us the armor of God. And look at the first piece of armor, Ephesians 6, 17. Take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Why? So we can guard our minds. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we destroy arguments, verse 5, and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Lives get shipwrecked. Listen to me. Lives get shipwrecked when we stop guarding our minds. If we give the enemy an inch, he'll creep in and he will pull us so far away from the Lord. If we're not careful, a depraved mind will lead to a depraved life. Just read Romans chapter 1. The Bible's going to say that people exchanged the truth for a lie. Matter of fact, I'll just read it. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. This is Romans 1:18. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Look at this. Who by their unrighteousness, what do? Suppress the truth. Verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their what? Thinking. Just skip on down to verse 28. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, look at this. God gave them over to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So what happens in the mind plays out in time. And you better guard your thought life. And if the mind is the gateway to life, which is what we're talking about, this is why the battle's in the mind. If the mind is the gateway to life, what's the gateway to your mind? Jesus said it's your eyes. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Sometimes we're our own worst enemy when it comes to this. Because of what we look at, where we put our eyes. The sin nature, Satan, the world system, man, it is directed toward our senses. And it loves when we do endless scrolling. It loves when we put images in front of us that are ungodly. Loves when we watch movies and television shows that make light of sin that God abhors. And listen, I'm not being a legalist here. I'm making a plea for wisdom. What you allow into your eyes takes root in your mind. And the battle is in the mind. Because if the war is won there, if Satan can win it there, he's got you beat. And so we've got to fill our minds with truth. We've got to guard our minds with truth. And then third and finally, we need to train our mind with truth. Guarding's protective, what we keep out. Training is active. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action. I've never been one of those MMA, mixed martial arts guys, you know, UFC. Kind of watch that and I'm like, those guys got a screw loose, all right? It makes me weak just watching some of it sometimes. I'll watch the highlights. But here's the deal about the fights. None of those people, UFC, they don't show up the night of fight night and get after it. No, they put in years of training. Hours, blood, sweat, and tears. Why? Because their life is on the line, physically. Well, the same is true for us spiritually. Our life is on the line. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. You say, Jared, do you take that figurative or literal? Both. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And how does he do it? He gets in our mind. So we got to train our mind for godliness. Jesus made it a practice every day to get up before the sun and go spend time with his Father. If Jesus needed that, how much do me and you? Jesus, before he made a big decision, he'd spend all night in prayer before he called his disciples. Before he was arrested, he spent all night in prayer. It was the rhythm of his life. Recall our sermon on temptation? How did Jesus battle temptation? Word, truth, it is written, it is written, it is written. He was the embodiment of truth, but he had trained his mind in the scriptures. We have to train our mind for truth because spiritually speaking, life and death hang in the balance. Listen to how Paul put it. This is the last verse we'll look at. We'll call it a day. For those who live according to the flesh, sin nature, they set their mind on the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Now look at what it says. For to set the mind on flesh is death. To set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. We got VBS coming up. Love VBS. Got kids camp coming up. Love kids. I could ask a second grader. I could ask a fifth grader. I could ask a senior in high school today. I could ask you, what do you want? Life and peace, corruption and death. It's an easy choice. All of us want life and peace. But according to Scripture, it will not happen unless we fight for truth. And the way we fight for truth is we fill our minds with truth, we guard our minds with truth, and we train our minds for truth. Because in this battle, seniors, church, the battle for your life happens in the mind. If Satan can win the war in your mind, he has you beat. So let's fight for what matters. And truth matters. Amen? All right.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.